Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Everybody, this is Prophetess McQueen, and once again, welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. I am ecstatic that each and every one of you have taken time out of your schedule or wherever you may be, whether it's in your kitchen, your family room, whether it's driving in your car or at the grocery store. I just want to thank you for taking time and sharing with me, amen, as we delve into the Word of God on tonight. Listen, before I do that, I just want to quickly go into the announcements. Amen. We have some exciting news that is coming forward, and then prayer, and then right into this word. Amen. In the way of announcements, people of God, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. That's every Tuesday at 7 and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. On Thursday nights, at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us right here at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, this is also our website. We ask that you would visit our website, take time to learn about Apostle McQueen and myself and about the ministry of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, the sons and daughters that have submitted to our covering that God has given us, the grace, amen, and has given us the favor to cover them. And speaking of that, not only do they need your prayers, but they also need your financial support to help them and to help us, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, spread the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. Also, just want to let you know, we have a media page. If you would like to hear, amen, Apostle McQueen, Apostle McQueen or myself preach the powerful messages that he laid upon our heart, then you can go to our media page and see us live right there as God began to move mightily in the services that we were at on those different dates. And also, if you would like Apostle McQueen or myself to come and minister at your church or at your program, please go to our contact page, put in all your information, be as detailed as possible, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. People of God, just also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny, has a Facebook page. We invite you to our Facebook page. Like us there. Leave your prayer requests and your praise reports. We also have many links that go right immediately into our blog talk broadcast. Amen. Let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Glory be to God. Amen. Now for the exciting news that I am just like overjoyed, and God is moving in a mighty, mighty way. October 18th and 19th, 2013, join me for Women of Prophetic Destinies Conference being hosted by Christ the King Redemptive Ministry for my year's Women's Conference. Amen. That's October 18th and 19th, 2013. This year's theme, do not or don't abort your assignment. Amen. And we will be hosting, or we will be at a host church, and it's known as Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. We have people coming from all over the United States wanting to be there. Amen. And not only people of God, is it just for women? We have men that are coming as well. We have powerful messages being preached and teached throughout those 2 days. We have powerful praise and worship. Amen. We have many musical guests and songs that will be coming forth on those 2 days to usher in the presence of the Lord. You do not want to miss this time. You don't want to miss the season in your life. If you need information for hotels, please contact me at the www.ctkr.org website. Go to WOPD. Ask for that information. You can go also on my Facebook, WOPD, or Women of Prophetic Destiny, and we will give you find out where you're coming from and make sure that you have that information sent to you so you can make your plans to be here. Again, that is October 18th and 19th, 2013. Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. This year's theme, don't abort your assignment. Amen and amen and amen again. Yes, you can already see I am already excited, more than excited. We have people that have just been calling in and say, I need to be there. I need to do whatever I need to do to get here. And if you're one of those people, come on. We want to see God move on behalf in your life. We have the prayer warriors. People have been fasting. People have been praying and seeking God. And we are expecting. We are expecting God to move and to bring glory unto himself. Amen. And amen again. Listen, people of God, I want you to grab your Bibles with me and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm coming, going to be some lengthy reading, but I'm going to be going through it rather quickly. But it's some points that that the Holy Spirit wants to bring forth on tonight. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at the 5th verse, is where we're going to begin. And we're just going to read down as the Lord deems such, and then we just ask and invite his presence in the broadcast so that he can speak to us, so that we can not only just walk away as hearers, but we can walk away as doers as well. Amen. That our lives will be changed, amen, in his presence. Come on, let us pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the season. I thank you for this moment. God, even now as I come before the throne, as we, your people, come before the throne, we bow ourselves in your presence. We humble ourselves mightily, God. We just grab the horns of grace this evening, God. We ask right now for forgiveness, Lord, in word, deed, action, attitude. We ask that you would wash us. Wash us in your blood, God. Wash us clean. Forgive us for our sins. Purify our hearts and our minds. Purify our hands, God. Purify our lips, our thoughts, even, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we just want to give your name praise. We want to give your name glory and honor. We want to worship you because you are the worthy one to be worshiped and praised. Even now, Father, as we begin to just delve into this word tonight, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come, that you would just begin to move, that you would just begin to breathe upon your word and bring it to life in the lives of your people, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're asking that this word will begin to make every crooked way straight. God, I'm asking that as we begin to read this word tonight, that it will begin to challenge us to change into your character, so that we may look more and more daily like you, that we respond more and more like you would respond, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now that you would begin to waken up the sleeping prophet and pastor and teacher, the sleeping fivefold, the sleeping lay member, the sleeping child of God, the sleeping prayer warrior, the sleeping intercessor. Begin to awaken your people right now. Begin to stir deeply in their spirits, God. Let them no longer just be resting on the laurels, but that they would begin to become activated in the spirit realm, that they will become doers and marchers, God, that they will complete the assignments that you have upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking now for those who have been faithful and have been plowing the field, who have been laying upon their face before you, God. We just continue to speak blessings up over them now in Jesus' name. God, we ask that you would continue to increase them more, that you would bring more glory out of their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would just breathe upon their families, breathe upon their homes, whatever they touch. We ask that you would increase and now for your glory in Jesus' name. Now, God, let this word get into our hearts and our minds as we meditate on it, and let it begin to shift us now into the next dimension that you called us to be. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Hallelujah. Right wherever you are, man and woman of God, just give him some praise and some worship. Just thank God for just being God in your life. Not that you have to ask him for anything, but sometimes you just need to give him praise because you know what? He is just that good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's just that good. We bless your name, Lord. Amen and amen. Excuse me. Amen. Amen. Reading out of the book of Corinthians, amen, chapter 3, I want to start at the 12th verse, amen. There we go. Amen. Let's just go up by one. Make it 11. Amen. The Bible says here, reading out of the New King James Version tonight, it says here, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Actually, people of God, I could stop right there and just preach that one point of scripture, because we have many people have laid, amen, many foundations, many teachings. If you have been listening to and following this ministry any length of time, you will know that my husband, Apostle McQueen, did a teaching as the Holy Spirit laid it upon his heart about the different Gnostic teachings and Gnostic gospels that have gone out in the earth, and how we, how the church has incorporated, amen, some of those false beliefs, amen, and instead of us producing Christ-filled, conquering saints, the church has a tendency to produce weak saints, saints that are trying to mix different gospels and call it Christianity, everything but use the name of Jesus Christ for what the real purpose is for. Live any kind of way except live the life that God ordained us to live according to his purpose, which is in the Bible. It says right here that no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, or which is already laid, and that foundation is Christ Jesus. People of God, there's no other foundation that can be relaid, rebuilt, anything. There was a song that was written that says, "My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness." And we have to get back to the blood of Jesus. We have to get back to the name of Jesus. We have to get back to the word of God, and building up on a true foundation, because anything that is not of Christ will not last. He says here in verse 12, "If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work, listen now, will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So all these different teachings and all these different belief systems that have gone out that are saying that this is the way unto heaven. This is the way of righteousness. This is the way unto Christ. He's saying right here in this word, if anyone builds on the foundation with this gold and silver, that prosperity gospel that my husband has been and I, standing with him, have been teaching against as the Lord ministered to him and began to open up his eyes concerning this prosperity message and gospel that is not Christ-founded or foundational, and we have allowed it to mix in with the church. And instead of we now have people using or believing that the more blessed I am, the more saved I am, the more stuff I have, the more holy I am, the more things I got, the more people I got, the more anointed I am. And instead of people, leaders building men and women of God to trust and stand on the word of God, we have, many have, been building people to trust in them, into the leader. I know I just said something there, because nothing is wrong, and hear me and hear me clear, nothing is wrong with honoring your leader. Nothing is wrong with respecting your leader. The Bible says give honor. We're supposed to. We're supposed to respect. We're supposed to honor our spiritual mothers and fathers. That's fine. Nothing's against that. God is for that. However, when we cross the line from honor into worship, then we get into idolatry. And for some, we have crossed that line from respect and honor of our leaders into worshiping our leaders. We have gone past the honor system, and now we're using the leader or looking at the leader as though they are God himself or theirself. That we can't do anything until we go to the leader and get the leader's approval. And instead, and for some leaders, instead of them looking and realizing that all they are is a under-shepherd over that are shepherding the sheep, when God and Christ is really the real shepherd, we've allowed the glory of the worship to come to us. We like it, we crave it, we desire it, we want more of it. And then we have taken the place of God. We have taken his place. More honor unto me. And the other way, in order to get more honor and more things, we begin incorporating false doctrines and building false doctrine on top, or try to build false doctrine on top of truth. He says here, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. Whatever the motive is, whatever your purpose was or is, it will become clear. For in the day, for the day will declare it. In other words, there's going to be a time that your work is going to be tested. And we're going to find out. The old saints used to say, only what you do for Christ will last. And many have been doing a whole lot of things, but they have not been doing things for Christ. Many people have been doing a whole lot of things and calling it Christ, but it really wasn't Christ. You just needed to slap his name on it to give it, quote unquote, recognition so people will follow that. But in reality, it was really your desire. It was really your motive. It was really your whole purpose for doing and being. He said, but in that day, it will become clear. He said, because it will be revealed. My God. It will be revealed. Malachi 3, 1 through 3. He says this really quickly. He says, listen. He said, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare a way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of covenant and covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord. But Luke 2 and 35 says this, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We think we got people fooled. We think because we have dressed the part, because we look the part, because we know the right lingo to use, because we hang around in the right circles, that everything is okay. But I'm here to tell you, people of God, unless what you're doing is God-pushed, God-ordained, God-motivated, that which is hidden will be revealed, and it will be tested and tried by the fire. And it said, and each one, each thing that you have built, he said, it will be tested and tried by the fire of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, talking about the foundation of Christ now, it endures, he will receive a reward. So whatever we build upon the foundation, or whatever we build and do for God, and it stays in that vein, that focus, amen, then it will last, because it's all about bringing him glory. It's all about bringing him honor. It's all about completing his will and his purpose. It's all about manifesting, amen, the kingdom of God in the earth. And each and every one of us is part of the kingdom. Each and every one of us has a part to play in the kingdom. And as long as we realize and recognize our purpose, as long as we stay focused and in divine alignment, in the assignment that he has given each and every one of us, then we will not fail. Then when our works are tried, it will be built upon him, and then it will last. It will prove itself out. It will endure. We shall receive a reward. But verse 15 says this, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved. Yet so as through fire. What are you saying, prophetess? What I'm saying is, when we meet him, when we come before him, he's going to ask each and every one of us what we have done with what he's given us. Each and every one of us, people of God, God has put a dream in your heart. He's put a vision. He's told you what his purpose was for your life. Amen. He's spoken it over you prophetically. He's, as you were reading the word of God, you read it in the word. He opened up your eyes, your spiritual eyes, and your ears. He's aligned you up with men and women of God that were going in that direction to teach you and train you, amen, and pour into you the way of truth and righteousness so that you too can fulfill, amen, the assignment and his will within your life and upon your life, amen. However, when you go before him, he's going to say, what do you have to present before me? And if you are the only one there, and that which is that was done for him with his purpose in mind, that will last. But anything that you have built outside of him, you won't have anything to present. And it's going to be a sad day, amen, because many or some people are going to get there and have nothing to present, because all they did, amen, was put together ideas, built monuments, amen, slapped his name on it, said it was him, but have led people far, far away from him. Verse 16. prophet preaches this passage of scripture over and over again. He said, but here's one thing we got to understand, that we are the temple of God and that his spirit dwells in us. Let me say, yes, Lord, we got to stop making excuses. What you have been sealed, what you have accepted him in your life, and once you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, we can no longer make excuses that we do not know. We don't understand. I can't get it. I don't know what he wants from me. He makes his plans known. If you ask him, he will make his plans known unto you. The challenge is for some of us is that he has made his plans known, but we don't like what he's planned for us because it's not fabulous enough. It's not bright enough. For some of us, he's trying to pull you out of the background into the forefront, and we don't want to be there. We want to stay in the background. But yet we have attitudes when people overlook us. Yet we have attitudes when people don't call our name. Yet we have attitudes when the person sitting next to us with less gifting, less qualifications, I like that word better, less qualifications that we have that get elevated, and we have our lips poked out and our head to the side, and we got the really look on our face talking about, well, can't they see? Don't they know who I am? How are they going to continue to do? But have you did or complete, have you accepted, first of all, even what God has, the first thing that the Lord has spoken unto you? He can't even get you to do the first thing. So how is he going to lift you up in front of millions and you can't even get the first thing right? You can't walk in obedience to the first thing. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles, or if anyone destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. When he comes and puts his spirit in you, he makes you holy. And it is our job, men and women of God, to stay holy, to remain holy, to remain sanctified and set apart, to remain righteous before him. I didn't say perfected. We're on our way to maturity daily, amen. But we have, he's not so much concerned about your outside. He wants that inside. We perfected the outside. That's why many are fooled, because we're too busy looking at the outside. We're looking at the cover of the book instead of inside of the book. And many of us have made some bad choices because we judge things on what it looked like from the outside. And we just knew that once we hooked up with that situation or agreed with that situation, that was going to work out for our lives. But if you look back in your life, you can see some situations that look good, really we're not that good. We prayed, we talked about, well, I prayed and I asked the Lord and I don't understand how I ended up here. But did you pray with his mind? Did you pray, or I should say, did you pray with the desire to know his mind in the situation? Because some of us just prayed, didn't want to stay down there long enough or wait long enough before him to get an answer, because this is something we really wanted. And we went forward with it wholeheartedly, running on all cylinders when the Holy Spirit was like, no, you need to wait. I need to show you. Just wait. Just give it a second. Just wait. No, we didn't want to wait. We wanted to run full force. And then when we ended up hitting that brick wall, then we're talking about how God forsook me. How come I didn't know it? How come I didn't see that? Well, do you not know, amen, that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? And if anyone defiles or destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. And that also means you just cannot live any kind of way. You cannot live any kind of way. You can't sit here and, all right, let's take it in the world sense. Look at it from that side. You can't sit here and party all day and all night. You can't sit here and drink yourself in a stupor all day and all night. You can't sit there and sleep around with everything that moves all day and all night. You get where I'm going with this. You can't live a hectic life and take no responsibility for your actions. Because after a while, it will wear you down. The Bible says that he beautifies the meek with holiness. If some of you, and I've done it, some of us who lived that lifestyle when we before Christ, and then Christ came into your life, look at some of those pictures. Go back and just look at some of the old pictures that you had. When the enemy had you thinking that you were at your finest, that you was at your best, that nobody could mess with you because you was fine as wine and smooth as silk. If you begin to just look at some of those pictures where he bought you from, listen, when salvation comes in your life, God has a way, and the Holy Spirit has a way of cleaning you up from the inside out and rolling the years of sin off of you. But you can always tell the people who have not accepted him, and you look back. Both of y'all could have started out together. You look back. Just look at some of your friends, same age. But how is it that some of them look like they've been ran over by a Mack truck, but they still trying to live that lifestyle? And then they look at you talking about, you look good. Ooh, you look real good. What you been doing? It's called living holy. Dare you to try it. I look at some of my old pictures before Christ and even as I was learning Christ. And I look at myself today. God, in his faithfulness, has rolled back some years off of my life, people of God. I have bags under my eyes. I look tired. I look worn down. But the enemy had me convinced that I was fine. Smooth. Everybody wanted you couldn't handle this. But until the Lord let me see who I really was without him, or as I was trying to live in both worlds. Let's face it, makeup can't cover. Sometimes that's the reason why the makeup industry is so a billion-dollar industry, because people try to cover up what's really underneath. Anyway, listen. Verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. I want to talk about how we have to give accountability as ministers, men and women of God, those of us who are called to teach and preach this gospel. We are accountable unto God in action, in thought, in deed. We're accountable unto God. So we can't deceive ourselves. We can't go around here thinking that we are wise. Yes, if God has given you, if he has graced you the ability to go to seminary school and learn that way, then by all means, blessing. But do not allow, amen, that seminary to kill the Spirit of God in you. Don't throw away, amen, what the Holy Ghost has taught you for the work for the seminary. I had a friend of mine who went to seminary school said, she told me this, she said, you better make sure before you walk up in those doors that you have a firm foundation in Christ, number one, that you know who God called you to be. You are who he is in you and you in him, number two. She said, because the teachings and the doctrine that they will give to you, if you are not careful, you will uproot the Holy Ghost for man-made words. So I've always kept that in mind. And honestly, I've seen a lot of people who were on fire. The Lord was using them. But the minute they went off to school, things changed. And I'm not saying nothing's wrong with schooling. There are some people, again, if you go in there with a firm understanding of who he is in you and you in him, you don't throw away what the Holy Spirit has taught you, and it marries together, there you are. Because it's all about bringing more souls into the kingdom. But he said here, don't get all high and caught up. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, in this dispensation, he said, let him become a fool that he may become wise, wise in spiritual things. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Oh, that's powerful right there. Because the more that science tries to disprove who God is, the more they prove who God is. The more they try to disprove who the deity is, who Christ is, the more that they prove, ever the more, that he is. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows the thought of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Can I stop there for just a second? We have more boasters than I have ever seen in my life. On the world side, in the world system, look at TV, look in the government, everybody's tooting their own horn. And the interesting thing is that people can be caught red-handed in something and will still sit here and toot their horn as though nothing happened. Lie blatantly in your face, knowing you just saw them. Lie in your face. Lie before others. And still try to find a way to walk as though they are circumspect. The devil is a lie. And I'm challenging, amen, the men and women of God, is that somewhere, someplace, we got to speak up for holiness and righteousness. Because the world has a mixed signal. Yes, even in the church, we have sent many mixed signals. My husband deals with people on a regular, I deal with people on a regular who say they love God, but they can't stand the church folk. And what it really is that they can't stand the religion because the religion has etched God out instead of working on a relationship. We have come to put religion and tradition in place and making that more higher than God himself. As ministers of the true gospel of Jesus Christ, we are held even more accountable, more stringent to what we preach, what we teach, and how we live. Do not come to me talking as though I have this is what I do here on Sunday and Wednesday. But when I close these doors, this is my own life. You don't have a life. Your life is not your own. The moment that you ask the Father in your heart, the moment you say, Lord, come into my life and live, be Lord over me, then you gave up your rights. Let me help some of y'all. You gave up your rights. You don't have any more rights. Your rights are his rights. Whatever he wants, that's what you do. Away with these people. How? How can we call ourselves ministers? One thing about Jesus, even though there was times that Jesus got away unto himself and he supped with the Father, he prayed, amen, he got his strength and he rested, amen. But he wasn't so. He still wanted to engage with the people because his whole reason for being here was bringing us back into the fold, back into restored relationship with the Father. Ministry is about people. And we have more folks who don't want to be bothered with people, but they want to be in ministry. What is this mess? This is mess. You cannot say you love God and don't love his people. Yes, you can't say, listen, we have to start realizing and recognizing that it's about a relationship, that we're being held accountable, as I said, in word, in action, and in deed. We can't go in. When you minister before people, you can't go in there with your opinion. Well, this is what I feel. It's not about what you feel. By the time they come to you, men and women of God, by the time someone comes to you, child of the King, they already heard everybody's opinion. They need to hear some truth. That's where you got to get into your word. You can't, well, this is what I would do. No, sometimes you need to crack the book open and say, this is what the Bible says. And the Bible is right. Let the word of God be true and every man a lie. The Bible is right. And people need to hear the word of God. Not your opinion, not my opinion. People need to hear truth. What is it that he has in this word that's going to mend, that's going to heal, that's going to make me whole, that's going to set every crooked pathway straight, that's going to give me some insight? Huh? We are held accountable unto him. And again, the Lord knoweth, verse 20, the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Let no man, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Let us not lift up men. Let us not make men our own graven images and idols. And some of us, we like that worship. So instead of teaching and training, amen, people to depend upon God, to depend upon the Holy Spirit, to search the scriptures, instead of allowing and training people to become mature in this word, mature in the things of God, we teach, we dummy down the word, we make them, ball and chain them to us, ball and chain them to the church, amen, where they, when they come to church, they think they're just coming to a building instead of understanding that they themselves are the church, and they don't change their lives, they don't change their character, they don't change their mindset, and you keep them subservient unto you, and then you become the God, and then when things go sideways, then people end up leaving church and having a hatred for the things of God because of how they were trained or how they were treated. And now we have, when they go to other ministries, other ministers become responsible to dig down deep and pull all those weeds out and pull all of that gangrene out and pull all that craziness out of them and then begin to replant seeds within them. So you have people who should be walking out immaturity and having and be training others. You have to retrain them, reteach them, go back to feeding them the milk. Listen. Let no man account for us as of the ministers of God, or let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. There's two words here. Servant. I think some of us have forgotten what we're really here for. We're servants of the Most High, and then we're servants to his people. Not to be served. Not to get served, but to serve. Matthew 24 and 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season. Faithfulness. The apostles were servants. They weren't trying, to set up monuments and carve their image all over everything. They weren't there to gather people unto them. They weren't called, to stay in one place and just, let me just build and take over all over here. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some true apostles that God has stationed somewhere. Amen. If he put them in a city, I'm not speaking of that. I'm actually talking about these people who have put titles there, but they do not have the qualifications that go along with the title. I heard just recently a chief apostle, who stated, who was asked to minister at a church. And the person made every excuse as to not come. Well, when they ran into the person that asked them to come to their church for ministry, they were told, I wasn't going to actually come to your church because I was hurt, blah, 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 from that area where you're at. What is that? When you are called as a minister of God, especially if you're called as an apostle, the apostles are sent ones. Apostles go out and hew a pathway. They make the pathway easy for the rest of us to come. The apostles go first. The prophets come up behind them, pointing out the way, and everybody else follows and does the job that they're called to do. But when you say, I don't want to go into an area because somebody hurt me, I was hurt. Listen, if you're not there for just that one, it doesn't make, somewhere along the line, healing needs to take place. That's what you're telling me. I'm not healed. That's the first thing you're telling me. I'm not healed. I'm not made whole. And anything that is a broken cistern leaks. Any places that are broken, they leak. They can't hold glory. So we have a lot of hurt people, broken cistern people, that are trying to minister, but they can't hold the glory because they're leaking. But yet they're leading others, but leaking. And you don't want to minister. But even at that, when they came to minister, or when that person came, they continued to talk to them. And in the conversation, and I'm listening to what the woman of God was saying, in the conversation they were trying to shift and turn them to get them to come over some kind of way to their church. Because then what they try to do is prophesy, and then get you to follow after them and sow into them. and getting you off track for what you're supposed to do. Prophecy comes to confirm, it uplifts, it will tear down at times, it will challenge you, amen? But true prophecy does not take you off the pathway that God has originally ordained for you. He said in here, listen, we're servants of Christ, not each other, of Christ. And the servants, the leaders, were servants unto his people. He said, and stewards. We hold the word of God. You hold the word of God up to standard, and you keep it protected, and you manage it in your life to make sure that it operates, and to make sure that the word stands strong. Amen? He says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Are you faithful tonight? Are you faithful in the things that he's called you to? Or are you just faithful as long as somebody's looking at you? I didn't say perfect. I said faithful. Are you faithful to, if you're given a responsibility, and it may not be one that, you know, shouts your name out, can you hold faithful to that? If your job, amen, whatever God gives you to do, are you faithful to that when nobody's shouting your name? If your job is to do nothing but open up the church doors, can you remain faithful to that while he's talking, while he's teaching and training you? See, everything that God does, it's all about teaching and training, and it's how we respond to things as he's teaching and training us. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. As leaders, you must be found faithful in your studies. You must be found faithful in your prayer life. You must be found faithful in dealing right with his people, with the souls that he brings you. You must be found faithful. On your job, you must be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. And this is Paul talking. He said, in fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified, by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Now, here's the thing. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Judge nothing before. Don't count folk out. Don't be quick to throw folk away, talking about they don't want God. It's been many, many, many people that the Lord has allowed my husband and myself to minister to, that when they came to us, they were in the rawest form. You can see them. Some of them, they just flat out weren't saved. They didn't care. They didn't care what you thought about them. They didn't care how they lived. They were flaunted in your face. But we kept on preaching. We kept on putting seeds in them. We kept on ministering. We kept on loving them. Hold them accountable to the word of God in love. Not beat them to death with the word, but hold them according to in accountability to the word. Live the life before them. After a while, and I love this about God, he always kind of has a way to make sure that you see that everything you're doing is not in vain. We get years later, we hear stories. So-and-so's preaching. So-and-so's associate pastor. So-and-so's a pastor of a church. So-and-so's ministering the gospel over to the different nations. And these were the same people. Hear me what I say, people of God. These were the same people who, when you mentioned the Lord's name, they would almost cuss you out. These were the same people who were living questionable lifestyle. These are the same people shacking up, doing all kind of heinous stuff, living all kind of foul ways. And these are the same people. And they come back and say, I thank you because you did not change the gospel for me. I thank you because you still held me accountable to this word. I thank you because no matter how ugly I was, you still love me in spite of. Judge nothing before the time. In my flesh, oh yeah, I was like, oh, these people ain't trying to go nowhere. They don't want the Lord. They don't want God. They just want to. But as I kept going, kept tilling the ground, kept putting in the seed. While I was working with them, God was working on me. As I was dealing with their issues, God was dealing with my issues. Do you hear what I'm saying? And for some of us, we got to get off of us. Get off of us and get to ministering to somebody else, helping somebody else. Get out of our circle. Help somebody else. And as you're helping and assisting them, God is working on your behalf. But don't judge a thing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. I guarantee you, people of God, that if you stand in truth and righteousness, if you don't sway to the left or the right, if you solely make up in your mind that he must be pleased with me at the end of the day, and you strive to do just that, not please God like you would please man, but every day, make it in your heart, make up in your heart that you will fulfill his desire and his will upon your life. You'll see changes happen. You'll see growth happen. You'll see your prayers starting to be answered. No longer will the focus be about you, but it'll be, what can I do to please you, God? God will begin to talk to you and lay up on your heart. So you need to go say something to that person. You need to pat this person on the back. You need to share with them. Even when you don't feel like it, you know it's something on the inside of you that says, I've got to help. I've got to minister. I've got to. And ministry is not always, as I like to say, spitting in the microphone. Ministry is about showing people the love of God. In other words, if you have the ability and they do not, you provide that ability for them. You make the way easy for them. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word. God, I pray even now that this word will just begin to resonate and rule in our lives, in the name of Jesus. God, I'm praying that we realize that as people of God, as ministers of God, that we are accountable unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, those that are not saved, please repeat this word, these words. Father, I'm a sinner. I want to live for you. Come into my heart and my life. Change me right now. Make me yours. I'll do what you say do. I'll live for you. Show me the way of truth and righteousness, and I will walk therein. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry pray that you will be led by the Father to a Bible-believing and teaching church, amen, that will groom you, amen, and train you and grow you up and mature you in the things of God according to his word. Listen, I want you, amen, to go to our Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. And check us out. I also want you to remember my conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny, October 18th and 19th, 2013. Don't abort your assignment being held and hosted, amen, at the Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 21313 Stone Street in Cocoa, Florida. I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I love each and every one of you, and I will see you again next week at 7 p.m. for another time in prophetic atmosphere. Be blessed.